Well, take your outlines. We'll study about the kingdom age tonight. It will not be very many more weeks until we've completed this study. Maybe by the first of the year or the middle of the new year, middle of the first month of the new year. And praying about another study, a new study. And I was asked, would like your feedback on it, I was asked to do our journey through the Bible that we did several years ago, where we took a book and just gave you you will have your notes and things, but I'm really thinking about that. I feel pretty confident that would be good again to take our journey from Genesis to Revelation, trying to do it in two nights and cover a book. So if that has some interest to you, I would like to know that, and especially from those of you that have already been through it once. If you'd rather have something new, I would understand that. Tonight we look at the kingdom age, and it's quite a deal. I'll tell you, I have done a lot of research this week and some of last week about some questions I have that I have not got answers to yet. But by the time we come back, in a couple of weeks, I hope to finish this millennial age. Sharon asked last week about the Christian, where we were going to be during this time and during this sequence of events. And I don't know if this answers your question, but I listed here in the beginning of the introduction the last major events that we have talked about, which we are in the church age right now, obviously. It will probably come to an end pretty soon, which will usher the rapture, which would be the next thing, and then the tribulation for those 7 years that while we're in heaven. The immediate thing that will happen for those of us who will be raptured is what we talked about this few weeks ago, the judgment seat of Christ, which is not a judgment at all, but a place of reward. But during those 7 years, and then we've been talking about the second coming and all the things that included, and tonight we look at the millennial age. I wanted to revisit one thought from last week. I think I skipped over this, and I wanted to just be sure that we got that nailed down a little bit better. I read about the 10 virgins. Remember that? First 13 verses of the 25th or 6th chapter. And I wanted to ask this question about that story and teaching, that parable. 5 of the 10 virgins, this is going into just before the coming of the Lord, 5 of those 10 virgins had their lamps trimmed. They brought oil for their lamps. 5 did not. And the illustration is Israel. But my question is, why did the 5 not have oil for their lamps? You remember the king? The king is going to come. The Lord's going to come and establish his kingdom, start the work with Israel, do this. And these 5 shows some were ready and some were not. But why did they not take oil? All 10 of them take oil. I didn't ask that, did I? I've been thinking about it ever since last Thursday. I usually rehash what I taught on Thursday driving in. And I think that's a fair question. And to understand that parable, that has to be part of the answer. Or the answer here for that. So what do you think on that? I'm sorry? Okay. You know, that's right. The five brought their oil, and five did not. The five that did not bring their oil in a roundabout way thought they had time, but more importantly, they did not. Not more importantly, but go with that. They did not think the king was coming right then. And that is the answer. Does that make sense? And Jesus is going to come when folks least think not. That's true for the rapture. That's true for his second coming. And the second coming is to establish his kingdom. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Can you imagine? And I wrote this down, kind of a second thought, so I've got some little bitty words here I'd like to just kind of read to you. Can you imagine returning with Christ to win the battle of Armageddon is done, and to set up his kingdom? Now, we've read that. We've talked about it. We will be a part of that. At that particular moment in time, how do you think you will feel? Say it again. Can't imagine. That's tough. I mean, we're in glorified bodies. We're coming with Christ. He's going to establish his reign. He has dealt with those armies that's gathered in Israel, 200 million strong, in a word of his mouth. It's just an execution, not a battle at all. And we're coming with him. Can you imagine how that's going to be, what that's going to be like? And I don't mean to say that because you said you couldn't imagine, but it's got to be a wonderful moment in time. You ever thought about that?
I think that's the whole truth. It's beyond anything that we as humans can comprehend.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm sorry, Michael. I thought you said. I'm sorry. My bad. I'm like you. I just don't know. Psalms chapter 2 says of the Messiah, "I will give you a rod of iron. Ask of me, and you will rule the nations with it. And you will crush them as one crushes an earthenware jar." Now that's talking about the setting up of his rule there as well. And in the book of the Revelation, it says of Christ's return, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Messiah. It's a wonderful thing to think that we are going to rule and reign with Christ for those 1,000 years. We are not coming back to do anything but that. He is going to establish his kingdom. Those who will go into the kingdom age that did not take the mark, that had been saved, will begin a new world, if you will, one that's just one that we would like to imagine we could live in today, but we can't until he establishes his rule and his reign. Did you know there's some interesting beliefs taught about this? I ran across this. I'll give you three of them. Did I write those down? Yeah. Here they are. I'll just read them to you out of the outline. Did you know the second coming of Christ and his rule on earth, many believe, is just a supernatural event? Well, it's going to be, but it's not taught that way. They teach that the events are taking place right now, that there are things happening, that the world is going to just usher in the kingdom, that Christ will just come back and and we'll just move into the kingdom age. And they see a lot of the catastrophes and world events that's going on right now as events of the final days mentioned in Revelation. It's all a symbolic thing to some people. This view requires what I'm teaching and what you believe. It requires us taking the Bible literally. And that's what we want to do, not figuratively and symbolically. The second thing that others teach that the church will bring in the kingdom. I scratch my head at even trying to understand that. That the church is going to bring in the kingdom. That we're moving into a way that eventually things are going to get better and better. This big revival, I guess, will break out and the church will be responsible for it. Church is not even going to be here. It'll be raptured out and we'll be gone. But somehow we're going to win the world for Jesus and everyone will live happily ever after. But the third thing is, I personally believe that we should take the Bible literally in this. And when it speaks of Christ coming, He's going to come, just like He said. But here's some reasons why there's not much taught on this subject. This is what I was going to mention now. The second coming of Christ and His rule on earth is a supernatural event. And the kingdom is the exaltation of the Jews. And that's not talked about too terribly much. And why? The main thing is most people, not you, not I, but most people in the world, they do not want a world run by a bunch of Jews. It becomes almost an anti-Semitic thing. And that's why it's not taught. And the premillennial view is a pessimistic view of people and history, and it places no hope in what man or the church can do. And so, for that reason, I suppose people will not take this particular teaching concerning the millennial reign of Christ as a literal teaching. But the problem with that is they'll take the birth of Christ as a literal teaching. They'll take the fact that He rode in on a colt in Jerusalem just days earlier before His death. They'll take that literal, that He went to the cross and died, that He literally rose from the dead. So why can't we take this literal? And we can, and we should, obviously. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says that the Messiah will be punished for our iniquities, and I take that to be, and take that literal. So when the Bible states that Christ will return, He will set up His kingdom, He will rule this world from His throne in Jerusalem, we can believe it just like that. Now, I have found one thing to be interesting this week. This is one of those little pieces of the puzzle that I'm trying to get all the pieces in concerning this. When will the New Jerusalem come down? You remember I've read how 1,600 miles... Pardon me?
After the millennial reign.
That's right. After that, and that's after the reign as well. For some reason, I had in my mind that it would be coming down now, but it doesn't. You are exactly right. It comes down after the great white throne judgment, which is after the millennial reign, and it comes down after the kingdom reign of Christ. And there's some reasons for that, and we'll talk about it when we get over there to that. Because I thought it was kind of coming down. He is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem without the new city coming down. He's going to rule and reign there from the old city, if you will. So there are four major reasons why we don't hear of His coming, and here they are listed. Our three. I just read those for you just a moment ago here, and I've got them listed. It's just kind of a mind-boggling thing to me that people will pick up that and not teach on the subject because of these matters. some people don't like the idea that prophecies of God will become real and historical, and they also are touchable. But God is not going to let history end without dealing with Satan and eradicating him and then setting up the kingdom that he promised in the Old Testament and as well in the New that he's going to establish. And all these promises were given to the Jews. And he's going to do the work in the Jewish nation and the Jews just like he said he would. God created man in the Garden of Eden. And when man sinned, he lost some things. And God is going to restore man once again to that estate that Adam had when he lived in the garden. In Psalms chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, it says that thou hast made him a little lower than God, and dost crown him with glory and majesty, and make him to rule over the works of thy hands, and put all things under his feet. And Christ's redemptive work at the millennial reign will restore to man all the things that man lost, if you will. So tonight, let's look at the kingdom. The king is coming, the kingdom age, if you will. And here's some, I've got about seven or eight of these. I'm going to just share with you tonight three of them. We'll talk about them. The kingdom will be truly a supernatural event. And here are some wonderful aspects of it. The first one, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And so all the people said, that's right. What a day that will be. When the kingdom age begins, Satan is gone. We read that in the 20th chapter of Revelation three times, where he's going to be taken and put away and left there for 1,000 years. When Adam sinned, the kingdom, or the kingdoms, if you will, were handed over to the enemy. Adam lost it. They were given to Satan, the kingdoms of this world. Some of the names that he has are these: the prince of the power of the air, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 2. The ruler of this world, John 14:30. The God of this world, who has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. So prior to the establishing of the kingdom where Christ will rule and Christ will reign, Satan will be dealt with and God will rid the world of him. And it'll be a great thing. Going into the millennial reign will be a group of people that did not take the mark of the beast during the tribulation period. And they will be blessed. We're going to talk about it, not tonight, but when we come back. They will begin to replenish the earth and to multiply upon the earth. Will they have... A fallen nature... Sin nature, that's what I'm trying to say. Like you and I have today? Absolutely. They sure will. But Revelation 20, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 describes Satan's banishment. The second thing I want to tell you is that Jesus Christ will be visibly present during this rule. Amen? Yeah. Isn't that a good thing? It's a wonderful thing to think about. Paul talks about being face to face with Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2. But I do want you to turn to Zechariah, because we're going to look this evening at some Old Testament words from this prophet concerning what this rule will be like. Zechariah is next to Malachi, next to the last book of the Bible. And it's the 6th chapter. I want to read verses 12, maybe more than that, but Now listen to how he describes this. Then say to him, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, a man whose name is Branch, capital B, for he will branch out from where he is, and he will build the temple of the Lord. Yes, it is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will and he who will bear the honor and sit on the sit and rule on his throne. Thus he will be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace will be between the two offices. Now the crown will be will become a reminder of the temple of the Lord to Halem and Tobijah and Jedaniah and Hen the son of Zephaniah. And those who are far off will come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and it will take place if you will completely obey the Lord your God. Interesting words that we read here from the Old Testament tonight. And I suspect there could have been some others, but I wanted to look at these with you. And I gave you in the outline here some things that this passage teaches concerning the Lord and his rule during this kingdom age, just from these few verses that we read. Well, here's several facts, if you will, given about the branch. And that term and that name, the branch, is synonymous with Messiah. Zechariah is speaking about the Messiah, that their Messiah that's going to come. The first thing he tells us is that he that will come from Israel. That's the first part of this 12th verse. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, a man whose name is Branch, for he will branch out from where he is. Where will he come back to? Jerusalem. He's going to set his foot down, the Mount of Olives. He's going to rule from Jerusalem. And that's exactly, for he will branch out from where he is. So he will rule from Jerusalem. He will build the millennium temple as well. Again, verse 12 and the last part of verse 12 and then 13. He will build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord. Well, just says it twice. And remember what I've told you, that anytime you see something back to back, said the same thing twice, back to back scriptures, it's therefore an important thing, and they don't want you to overlook that. But he will build the millennial temple. The third thing that Zechariah says is that he will be glorious. That's the next statement in that 13th verse. He who will bear the honor and set... let me start over. He who will bear the honor and set and rule on his throne. It will be a glorious time for the Lord Jesus as he rules just exactly like he said that he would. And watch this thing that it says. The next thing in this 13th verse. He will be priest on his throne, and the council of peace will be between the two offices. There's two things, and I wrote it here, that he will be that no one has ever been. You see that? He will be both king and priest. Why is it that no one has ever been that? That's exactly. Judah. Which David was from Judah. That's right. Is that what you said, Helen? It was from the tribe of Judah that David came. And that's right. And you couple that with the fact that the priest had to be from this tribe and the kings came from this one, and couple with the fact that if you put both of those two offices together on planet Earth, man's head would get so big he couldn't get in and out the holy city. But this is an honor that is given to our king. He will be reigning both as king and as priest. Quite a thing. And in verse 13 it tells us that he makes peace. And it will be a time of peace for 1,000 years, and they will never know peace in the world until the Prince of Peace is ruling from Jerusalem. And in the 15th verse, he opens the kingdom to everyone. What does that mean? Well, let's read. I'm sorry? Anyone from any place can come. Okay, and that is exactly right. Now, he's going to reign. Israel will be the apple of the eye, but everyone is welcome. And that's Jew and Gentile. Everyone can come. That's right. These verses just describe earth's final king, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's going to rule and reign. And he will do with both roles of king and priest. And it's quite a thing. I'll tell you, it's just going to be unbelievable. Let's look at one last thing tonight and we'll stop. And that is that Israel will be exalted. Now, if you want to turn to Isaiah, I think that would be good. We'll look at a couple of verses here and then we'll close this evening. The first one is Isaiah chapter 2, and you'll recognize this. But Israel is going to be exalted. They're going to receive everything that they were promised. The problem with them has been that they just didn't want Jesus to be the Messiah. In this second chapter of Isaiah, it's always best when you're in the right book. Okay, let's read these three verses. Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. Let's pause there a moment. The mountain of the house of the Lord. What mountain is that? If it's going to be in Jerusalem, then it's referred to as Mount what? Zion. Mount Zion. That's exactly right. Mount Zion will be established as the chief of the mountains. And will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations and will render many decisions for many people. And here's that familiar verse that you could have quoted. And it, at this time, they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Going to be a good time. It's the time when the lamb will lie down with the lion. That's right. And when we come back in a couple of weeks, I'm about to remind me, next week we'll meet on Tuesday night. Don't forget that. But there's no war. And we'll look at some, let's look on, turn over to the 60th chapter. Let's just read this one too. I'm just kind of jumping around tonight, but the 60th chapter, we'll read verse 14. Israel is going to be the joy of the entire world during this time. There's some verses and things that we're going to see about it next time. It says, the sons of those who afflicted you will come bowing to you. All those who despise you will bow themselves at the soles of your feet, and they will call you the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And this is what Israel is going to be to the entire world. It's going to be a blessing because their king is ruling and reigning in the affairs of man. To the 66th chapter, that's the last one, verse 10. Be joyful with Jerusalem and rejoice for her, all you who love her. Be exceedingly glad with her, all you who mourn over her. And again, Israel will be the joy of the nation. And this time that those that mourned over Israel in the past, they're going to rejoice with her because she is going to be blessed. And because of her king, the entire earth is going to receive great things. We're going to talk about the seasons next time, what it will be like then. We're going to talk about some things I don't know the answer to tonight, and I'm not even going to bring it up. I have not got a good answer on some things that I've got questions about, and I have not even found anybody that's even addressing it in my books. So if I don't find an answer, I'm not going to bring it up, and I hope you don't ask. But it's just going to be a wonderful time, and it's going to be because the world will be at peace unlike it ever has been in the history of the world, except prior to the fall in the garden. And for 1,000 years. And we're going to be a part of that. We're going to be a part of that ruling and reigning with Christ. And it's just going to be pretty incredible, I think. Don't you? Amen. Amen. I asked Paul this morning. He said, I don't know. Will there be hospitals then? Pardon me? No need for it? Won't be any sickness? Mm-hmm. Pardon me? That was one of my questions that I don't have a good answer for yet. People will be born during that time by the multitudes. I'm just telling you. I've got five more I could pop out just like that I don't have answers to right now. That's right. That's right. Will there be? How will they die? Old age? As perfect as this world is and will be, that's right. That people will live and die during this time. Okay. Let's stand and we'll close. Hang on just a minute before you get up. I saw a hand. Let's stand together. That's one of my questions. That is one of my questions. I don't know. And I don't find anybody that even addresses it. Any announcement or anything? Come prepared to stay for lunch now, Sunday. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. Y'all go home. Go home and study this for me. Maybe you can tell me some of the answers to this. All right. Well, let's bow together and we'll conclude with prayer. And by the way, now next Tuesday is our midweek service. Don't forget that. We won't meet Wednesday next week. It'll be Tuesday. Just want to remind everybody. Okay, David, would you dismiss us, please?